My favorite thing to do is talk to you. Listening to how your life has been impacted and how you have grown in your organizational journey is so inspiring. Over the years, I have really internalized for myself and verbalized to you that perfect is not a thing. It does not exist. I have replaced the word perfect in my vocabulary with the word excellent. I am not a perfectionist. I am a person of excellence. I invite you to come to share your story about how you are being transformed from a reactive to a proactive person, from an overwhelmed homeowner to one who is now in more control of your time and your spaces. We all want to hear what more grace feels like in your life with your unique circumstances. Do not wait until you are a perfectly organized person. Remember, perfect does not exist. I want to hear from you. Please sign up to join me for a Wednesday podcast interview at organize365.com/Wednesday. Christine, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
I'm so excited.
I'm so excited to talk to you. Also, can you tell me first, how did you first find Organize 365?
So a family friend told me in January 2018, told me about Angela Watson's programs, because I was a teacher at the time and was totally burnt out. And so this other teacher mentioned this program. But then, of course, by the time I actually followed the link, it was too late to get into her program because she had, you know, closed dates and things. So I started listening to her podcast, and one of the first episodes was your interview with her.
And Angela is awesome.
Yeah, I know quite a few other people, other teachers have said that they found you through her too. But yeah, so I listened to your interview and was like, oh, this teacher box sounds pretty good. And so then I went over to your podcast and then, then binged all of them, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, Angela's awesome. I've talked to her offline and online. We just kind of see life the same way. It's really fun when you find somebody that looks at life the same way that you do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that there's a lot of... just shared perspectives and things of like former teachers working on other things. So I'm sure that that's part of why both her podcast, but then yours really spoke to me. And at the time I still was a teacher, but it was kind of nice to hear both of those examples of, you know, here's somebody who was a teacher and really loved it, but is doing something else now.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Yeah, teaching is such a good foundation for a future career other than teaching, although we need all the teachers, like a career teacher, please stay a teacher. But it is really a good foundation for future things. And sometimes it's hard to think of yourself being something other than a classroom teacher. It took me a long time to realize that I was teaching the skill of organizing as an adult to adults. But then once you make that mindset shift, you're like, oh, well, then I could pull in like, the reason I'm so prolific with podcasts, and podcasters are like, oh my gosh, you do so many podcasts. I'm like, because you're nothing. These are lesson plans. Like, Nora, I used to do like six a day. This is nothing.
Exactly.
Totally. Yeah. It's all perspective.
Yeah. And actually this will come up later, but as you say, like it's good preparation for a lot of things in life. And that's because of the transferable skills we learn as teachers. And that's what I'm researching now. So,
yeah. Oh, cool. Okay. So before we go on, who lives with you in your household?
So it's just my husband and I, and my kitty Nico,
who's
sleeping on my desk. That is a heated bed. It has a heating pad in it.
Oh, and, wow.
And then a desk lamp on top of him. So that's how, if for anybody wondering, that's how you keep your desk cat from being all over your computer and not letting you actually type things.
You put him in a heated bed?
Yeah, a heated bed with
Wow.
And it's like the warmest spot in the house. And so he just sleeps there nicely. Yeah. So I joke that he's my most direct supervisor because he's supervising me. All the time.
I want to be your cat. I just want to be your cat. That's what I'll come back as your cat in my next life.
Whenever anybody says, what kind of animal would you be? I'm like a well-loved house cat, not just any cat, but one that is treated really, really well.
Right. Oh my goodness. So that's awesome. You mentioned that when you found the podcast, you were ending your current teaching career because you were burned out and you were exhausted. Mm-hmm. So tell a little bit more about that story and then how that morphed into actually getting organized with Organize 365 and what you tried and hadn't tried before. And how'd you get started?
Yeah. So yeah, that was January 2018. And I was exhausted. I was working part-time, but still like well more than full-time hours because that's how it goes as a teacher. We were just, you know, things at school were pretty organized, except my desk. My desk was always a disaster, but you know, like my classroom was always organized, and things at home would kind of come in waves, but I was definitely liking all of the suggestions about how you could, you know, make your life less stressful and more productive and use your time better. And so I really liked the idea of the teacher workbox and the Sunday basket. And I, you know, tried to make my own for a while because it was hard to get stuff shipped to Canada. So I like tried for a while, but you know, it was the middle of the school year, so I couldn't actually get anything set up. Mm-hmm. I did eventually, I think, towards the end of that school year, I did end up ordering the teacher workbox and was like, well, if I'm paying international shipping, I might as well get the Sunday basket. And I got them both. And then of course they just sat in the box because I think I briefly set one up, my teacher box, on like a PD day, but didn't actually finish it. And so I just shoved things in there for the rest of the school year and didn't really use it. I did get it set up a little bit better in August that year for the new school year. I wasn't going through it regularly, but I did find a few things that were useful. Like, you know, when you needed, I don't know, like a multiplication chart that you need regularly, but not every single day, you need to be able to find them or whatever. I had a couple folders for sort of those frequently used papers. And if there was a paper I knew I couldn't lose, I stuck it in there and then I would just dig through it when I needed it. So I wasn't exactly really using it, but it was still helpful a little bit. But I was really, I think it was a lot of the passive organizing. You were helping me become more positive and think about all of the other things in life that can just be made a little bit more simple, or how can we reframe things, and all of that. And then the following year, my husband got a job across the country. So I live in Canada. I was in Regina, Saskatchewan, which is in the middle of the country, very, very cold, middle of the prairies. And we'd been trying to get back to Ontario, where my extended family, except my parents and his family, are. And so he got a job at the University of Guelph. So in, you know, summer 2019, we knew that we were going to be moving to Guelph, but we weren't moving until the winter. And so probably one of the main things that helped early on, while I did, you know, the occasional project here and there around the house, and really liked the Facebook group for all the support, right? You'd say, here's this disaster room, and then this is what it looks like, and you get all the congratulations, and that was always positive. But once I was working on packing, I found your, I think I don't know, maybe it was still available online somewhere, and I found your Organized Move. And I used the color-coded duct tape and we took it to the next level. Cause then I had a Google sheet
where
I had highlighted in color matching the boxes, and the boxes were numbered. So they didn't say what they were on them at all. So if they were, you know, being shipped across the country and somebody took a box, it wouldn't say like electronics or something.
gold in this box, gold bricks,
all the jewelry.
Yes,
exactly. So we just numbered them, and then had the colored duct tape, which was amazing. Cause some of those boxes got packed in August and then weren't opened until January. And many of those boxes, I actually ended up coming, we drove across the country in December and then I came back to finish my semester. And so I was back in Regina for another month in January 2020. And my husband, like the truck hadn't even arrived by the time I came back.
Wow.
And so he was able to look at the Google sheet and find things, right? And then if he couldn't find something, he would text me and say, do you know where the white noise machine is? And I'm like, hey, I think it was in the box that had this other thing in it. And I could go find that in the spreadsheet and say, okay, try it. 63 or 49, and he found things. So
wow,
huge.
That's amazing.
That's next level. Yeah. And then I would move two more times in the next, like between then and now. So it wasn't quite as epic those other times because it wasn't across the country, but yeah, the moving has been a big thing. It's part of why I haven't really gotten organized, is because I keep moving.
Wow. Okay. So when you're talking about the teacher workbox, also, I just want to make the distinction. When you bought the teacher workbox earlier, it was the old one. Now we've created, like, we have a teacher club. We have, like, all the things that go with the education workbox. And
which I'm as sure you were, I would have used much more.
Yes.
Would have had that support. Yeah.
But I was thinking about that the last couple of weeks, just a couple of things have happened out of the ordinary. We're like, someone called me a really big CEO and they said, well, you have so many products. And I'm like, no, I don't. No, I'm not. And I was like, oh, Organize 365 has kind of gotten a little bit big. Like, I guess if you have 15 people on payroll, it's not like in not your tiny house anymore. Like, I don't work in my house anymore. But mentally, I'm just that scrappy teacher at home being like, okay, we could duct tape this together. So as I'm listening to your story, I'm like, oh yeah, that's before we had the new education workbox. Oh yeah, that's before we had this. Oh, that's before I had this.
Yeah.
And just in relation to what we're saying, I'm a school teacher and a former stay-at-home mom. So basically, you know, I've been a mom for 22 years and I'm through the active parenting years. So I think I'm a pretty good mom because I've been through the whole entire experience already. And so now I'm able to support Abby as she starts on her parenting journey. She obviously intuitively knows what's better for my grandson than I do because she is the mom. I fully default to that. But also, I know how to chase a prescription around 14 different stores to get the one you want when you need it, because she's trying to get a prescription for the baby. And I looked at my husband, I said, do you remember when I drove to Columbus to get, he goes, Daytrona for Joey. Like, he knew exactly what I was getting and where. And it was when there was this shortage of this medicine, like they just sold out of it nationwide. And I just got in the car and started driving. And Greg was calling until, like, this is just what you do as a parent, but you don't know until you've done it. And then it's just kind of normal to you. And that's how it is for teachers. Like the first year teaching, you're like, I just have to get through this year. By the time you get to your third year teaching, you know what you're teaching. Well, because Organize 365 is a school and we're teaching the skill of organizing, like what comes intuitively to certain people at home does not come intuitively to other people. And what we have uncovered over the last 11 years is there is a process to teaching the skill of organizing at home, but no one's ever done it before. So we're almost like creating a school and classes and the supports that you need in order to do this thing called hashtag adulting. There is no playbook for. We're creating the playbook. So as you're telling these things, I'm like, oh yeah, this is how we then realized that was a need, found the need, created the lesson plan, created the supports for that, moved on. And now when you come to Organize 365, you're like, where do I start? There's so much. Because we've identified all the classes you would need in order to get the degree, you might not need all the classes. And so along the lines, you were passively organizing, but we were actively trying to create the lesson plans and stuff as well.
Yeah. I remember when I got an email that was like, and now you're like, welcome to the Sunday Basketball Club. And I was like, wait, isn't that a thing you have to pay for separately? And then I was like,
yeah, oh, I added it.
Now it's included.
Yes.
Which Sunday afternoon never works for me. So I think I've attended like maybe once live, but I occasionally, I'm a lot better now at doing my workbox. I'm not great at doing the Sunday basket, which really just means that my husband does most of the financial things. And so all the other household things that aren't like cooking just kind of get neglected. Not so much planned neglect, just neglected.
And to be fair, you don't have children.
I don't have children.
And if you're not taking care of your parents or other things in addition to you and your spouse, you can slide by.
Yeah.
You can slide by. You're going to get the unexpected.
Oh, I'm a bad daughter because I never responded to that message, or like I didn't plan it and then I scramble for things. Right. So I would feel better about my not dropping all the balls, but like, what's that about? You can juggle the balls and you have to know which ones you can drop.
Can bounce. Yes.
The vast majority of them. If it's not for the cat's food, it probably can get dropped.
Yes.
Right?
So, yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. So you do have a Sunday basket. When's the first time that you noticed something was organized that wasn't organized before, as you started like in your passive and active organizing?
Yeah. So, you know, there were a few things here and there, in the old house back in Regina, but probably the biggest thing that really made a huge difference was In the loft, so the first place we lived when we moved to Guelph, after the big cross-country move, we were in a very small loft because we were never going to work from home, you know, and we were going to spend so much of our time other places than at home. So we moved from a house, from a two-story house to a tiny loft that was like less than 1,000 square feet, just in time for the pandemic. So, and again, I wasn't even there for most of the unpacking. So I got there and things were like half unpacked. And I scrambled to sort of, I was just sort of putting our life together in February, 2020, and then everything shut down. And I remember like 2 or 3 weeks in to the lockdowns being like, you know what? There's so much stuff down in our like one little storage locker down by the parkade that it was like literally piled, right? There were built-in shelves, but things were just shoved on there, mostly boxes that I'd said, don't bother unpacking this box. And yeah, it was just chaos. And so, and most of my craft stuff was down there, because none of that was urgent, obviously. And yeah, so I took, I think 2, maybe 3 days where I just binged podcasts.
And so are you saying I organized with you?
Yes, you totally organized with me.
Yay.
Yeah. And you know, like I was up on a ladder and pulling stuff out, and yeah, it was massive. And that made a huge difference. And especially since we had all this food that we had stockpiled, you know, early days of the lockdown and all of these things. And yeah, so that made a huge difference because we could actually find things. And I even made sort of an inventory so that I would know what was there. And so that made a huge difference. But we were only there, well, we were there for 1.5 years, mostly during lockdowns. And then we moved to another condo for about 6 months. And then we moved to our current house, which we moved into in January last year. And so the moves have mostly taken up all the time that I would have spent organizing and making things easier. Was like, no, we're just packing and unpacking apparently all the time. And so once we got here, one thing that was a major game changer is we sort of, when we went to unpack the kitchen, we did it together and we stood there and we decided on zones and cupboards and we sticky noted.
Yes.
All of the cupboards and the drawers about what was going where. And we unpacked most of the kitchen in like one evening because we figured out where things were going and then we could just do it. Right. And then I've been slowly, you know, getting the right size bin or refining within that, or, you know, no, we never look for the knives here, the cutlery here, we look for it here. So we swapped that, you know,
nice. That sort of thing.
But having that plan from the beginning, so just knowing, like a lot of it was just having all of the things you've said and all the things that I've heard, over these years in my head while we were unpacking. So I haven't really like done those most spaces in depth, but they sort of got put maybe 75% of the way there, as we were unpacking.
Isn't it funny how we just, the first time you move, you've never moved before. And so you move into a kitchen and you're like, okay, you just like literally start opening boxes and putting stuff away, or worst, you have somebody helping you and they start putting stuff in your kitchen and you don't even know what they unpacked. Cause they're just like, you know, mothers and mothers-in-law seem to think like they know how you're going to use your house and they don't ask permission. They just do. And next thing you know, you're living in your house, but you don't know where anything is because your mother or your mother-in-law put it somewhere where they would know. And you'll find that when you move out. Because we just never think to stop and think about how do we want to use it? How do we eat? The only example you have in your head is your childhood home. That's it. That's the only one that you have. And then you just default to autopilot without any thought whatsoever. It's the thinking part of organizing that I think surprises people.
Mm-hmm. For sure. It's like that pre-planning. And I don't know if this is something I got from you, but I kept saying like, everything we're putting away, it's auditioning for its spot, right? Like this is where we're going to try, like we're going to try this drink cabinet thing. Like it's basically the tea cabinet because we have a tea problem. We have four. And then there's a like one row of like Keurig things and then the mugs. But then the rest of the cupboard is all tea. But you know, I was like, you know, I've heard this thing. I've wanted to try it. Let's try it.
Yes.
And it's, and that one has worked, and other things it's been like, no, this is not right. Working. We need to try this somewhere else. Right. And there was a few times where my husband was like, oh, like, why didn't we get it right the first time? I'm like, no, like everything is auditioning right. For its spot. You know, we don't need to be like married to any particular organization, but let's try it and see how it goes. And that was pretty good. And especially after moving 3 times in 3 years, including twice in 1 year.
And I love how you're able to articulate that, no, it's okay that we have to modify, but we have to try. Like, you're not going to get perfect the first time.
Exactly.
So that was my lead organizer, Carol. She's an interior decorator. And she would always say, we're auditioning. And she will say that all the time when she's trying to design for people. Because she's in my house. She took like a stool and she put the little mini trampoline on top of it. And then she put a tablecloth on it. I was like, what are you doing? She's like, oh, well, we're just going to audition what it would look like if we had a round coffee table here. And I was like, okay, that's genius. And so she'll do that. Like, she'll make it look like these things are in the right area of the house. And then she'll be like, okay, I want you to live with it this week. Tell me how it is. I'm like, yeah, we actually kind of like it. That's the right size. She's like, great. Now let's actually look for the furniture. I'm like, right. Brilliant. So she would always say we're auditioning things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Whereas my husband's, he's the interior designer. Like, he has the aesthetic sense. And now he's like my personal stylist too. He'll be like, he has very clear ideas of the feeling of, say, our living room. Right. And then, so he'll buy things and try them. And then it'll be like, no, that's not right. Like, we need to return that one and get this new one. And so, yeah, it's a whole process of, there's a lot of auditioning.
Yes. I'm not a good auditioner. If I buy it, you're going to have it for a decade. So you better like it in the store, because I'm not returning it. I don't have time to return anything.
Yeah.
Okay. I cannot wait to hear how you have turned your teacher work box into a graduation box. Let's dive into that one.
Yeah. So I left teaching, obviously, when we left Regina. I wasn't sure as I was leaving. I was really, really burnt out. And, you know, we'd have lots of conflicts around my overworking. And, you know, as you keep saying, like, you were a negative person when you were overwhelmed. And that was definitely becoming the case. And it was leading to lots of conflicts and stuff. And so we were like, okay, you know, I think I need to take a break from teaching. And so what do I want to do when we move to Ontario? The teaching market was already rougher here. There used to be a huge oversupply of teachers. We've now like basically run through the oversupply, I think.
Yes.
So I knew it would have been hard for me to get a teaching job right away. And the main thing I was teaching out in Saskatchewan was computer science. And I didn't have that like as an official teachable. I learned on the job, as you often do, but I didn't have, you know, the university courses. So I was like, well, maybe I'll take some courses. And as I was looking into that, and of course, since my husband is a prof, and so as a spouse, I could get, you know, tuition covered.
Nice.
Yeah. So I was like, well, maybe I'll take some courses. Maybe I'll get a second undergrad. And then a mutual friend offered me the opportunity to come and work with them to do a master's degree. And they specifically wanted my teaching experience because they wanted to look at transferable skills in the university context and how. So transferable skills are things like creativity, problem solving, critical thinking, collaboration, communication skills, those things that aren't specific to any one subject or discipline. They're needed for all jobs. And guess what? Teachers have a lot of transferable
skills.
Anyway, so they wanted to look at the university curriculum and how can we sort of find ways to put more transferable skills into the curriculum. So they offered me this opportunity. I was like, sure, why not? Like, I'll apply for this. And I got in. And then, you know, so I was planning to start in May of 2020. It ended up getting pushed back to September. I got in for May and then they said, but does she really want to start? Like, you know, everything shut down, like just shut down, right? Do you want to wait till September when things are a little bit more calmed down? I was like, that seems like a good idea. And so, which, not that they were that much more calmed down by the fall. And so, you know, I had this more time than I was expecting to be unemployed, right? I thought I was going to be unemployed for like 3 months and then it ended up being more like 5-6. And I was trying to figure out like, yeah, how do I plan for this grad school thing, right? I'd seen my husband go through it several years before. We work very differently. He's extremely efficient. I have to work really hard, you know, so he can do things in just a few hours that would take me all week kind of thing. And I wasn't paying that much attention to how he organized time, right? So yeah, I was sitting there being like, okay, I have like this Sunday basket and this teacher workbox, and there must be some way that I can turn this into a grad school workbox. And I remember you were doing some Facebook lives or whatever. And I asked you, I was like, here's kind of what I was thinking. What do you think? And you're like, yeah, that sounds great. And so I like made all the slash pockets, but then of course the vast majority of them don't actually, like, you plan ahead, but then they don't actually necessarily get used that way. Right. You're like, but I've never had a paper for that thing. Or yeah, like I have a lab, but I don't really have to do anything for my, like, I ended up putting in like a list of birthdays once, like, but I didn't really need anything in there. So there was a lot that didn't get used, but just, I did get into the habit of just the writing. I've always written myself lots of notes. My teacher desk, it's like just covered in sticky notes. The poor teacher who took over from me, like, kept finding things because I left in a hurry and I hadn't really cleaned out my desk. And so she found things in my desk, including like stacks of sticky notes that she would just like send me pictures of, like, do you need this sticky note with this piece of information that was like 6 years old? Anyway, so I've always written lots of things down, but I didn't have a good system for putting them anywhere. So I did get good at doing that and putting that into the workbox. And I did start pretty regularly doing the Friday afternoon co-working time and just going through what was on my list. I didn't really go through the 2.0s in the same way or do the deep dives in the same way, because it wasn't really set up that well for that first sort of year and a half through those first two moves. But just going through just my notes to myself from the week and looking at the week ahead and doing that planning was already a major improvement. And I really enjoyed that Friday afternoon sort of decompression time. Mm-hmm. Even at one point I ended up telling, I gave one of my paper solution books, because, you know, I bought five. I gave one to my lab mate. So my buddy from my master's degree that we became really, really close. And she was talking about organizing. Oh no, she said, I have this pile of random papers I need to deal with. And I was like, would you like a book?
To go with your pile of papers?
So she read the book and then dealt with the pile of papers. Yeah. And then Good. We started doing sort of mini Friday afternoon planning times for about a semester. Which was good. It was kind of just a nice way to decompress and plan. The first way I had it set up wasn't really working and I didn't really take the time to go through and reorganize it. So I guess it was probably last winter sometime, maybe February last year, I sat down and was like, okay, I need, you know, parts of this are working, but I really need to reset all, you know. And Lisa always is saying, like, you know, there's no organizing police. You don't have to do it one specific way, like make it work for you. And so I kind of ended up doing a hybrid of the workbox colors with the Sunday basket. Like the Sunday basket, they're more like themes.
Yeah.
Instead of types of work, right? They're like bins of work. So like personal, home, family. Whereas the, you know, the ideas, projects, team, like that part didn't really fit as well for what I was doing, because I needed to kind of to track things within their category instead of moving them through categories.
Yeah, that's such a great observation, because you're right. It is categories of like bins of work and Sunday basket, and then it is the flow of a business workbox. And whereas in grad school, it's not a flow. You need the bins.
Yeah. And once you started talking about the education workbox in the summer, I was like, see, it's more like categories. Right. And so I was like, okay, this actually, so it is still sort of a teacher workbox. But yeah, so I ended up using my portable Sunday basket as my grad school workbox because it just fits on my desk better. And so I've shifted around a few times, but I use pink for still future, like ideas, forward planning, so many career stuff, or when I was in my master's applying for my PhD, stuff about the PhD programs I was applying for, scholarships and awards, right? So it's still kind of the personal, the forward planning idea. Purple is for my dissertation, which I noticed you also used purple for yours, which is great, which is not getting much love right now because I just started my coursework section of my PhD. And so there's not a whole lot about my
dissertation. So did you just start just now? You just started your PhD? So you're a year ahead of me.
I started in September.
Oh, you're 18 months ahead of me.
Yeah. So I did my master's fall 2020 to summer 2022. So I finished at the end of August.
Wow.
And people were like, what are you going to do now that you have all this time? I'm like,
more school.
PhD in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like classes start on the 12th. Yeah.
Right.
So I went straight into the PhD, and this PhD has a lot more coursework than my master's did. So I'm now at the University of Toronto, so I live in Guelph, which is about an hour to 2 hours, depending on traffic, away from Toronto. But luckily I live a 12-minute walk from a new train that runs straight to Toronto. So it's actually, I was like, I only am doing this if I do not have to drive, because the 401, which is what you take from Guelph to Toronto, is literally the busiest highway in North America. So,
wow.
Yeah, I don't want to deal with that. So instead I get on a lovely GO train, and an hour and a half later I'm in downtown Toronto and can just take the subway. So
nice.
Yeah. So that started in the fall, and I have 6 classes that I need to do by the end of next year.
Okay.
And so I took 2 in the fall. I have 2 now. I'll do 1 over the summer and 1 in the fall. And then I will do my comprehensive requirements, which is like, they make you read a whole bunch of stuff in sort of 3 fields related to your topic. And then you either have an oral or like a sit down 3-hour final, or you write 3 essays over 10 days. Yeah. And every program is totally different how they do that. It's either called a qualifying exam or a comprehensive exam, but it's basically how you go from being a PhD student to a PhD candidate. And so once you pass that requirement, basically they're saying, yes, we believe you can do this. Go ahead and do your research.
Wow.
And so I'll be planning to do that this time next year, is doing that requirement. So,
okay. So you told us pink and purple. What'd you use blue and green for? And have you added in like other colors?
Yeah. So purple is my dissertation, which I haven't got a lot in yet, cause I still am in the classwork stage. Blue is mostly my classes right now. So I have a slash pocket for each of my classes. And then if I'm doing like a collaboration, or if I have a lab, then I'll put them in there too. Or any sort of other professional development kind of stuff. But currently it's just my 2 classes. And then green, because of the kind of money, I'm using that for my 2, I have 2 research assistant positions. In many programs, they have you be a TA, right? Like basically marking. And I was sitting there being a TA in my master's being like, why am I marking again? This was not the part I liked about being a teacher.
Yeah, right.
But being paid better for it by the hour. So I now have 2 research assistant positions. So I work for a prof helping manage his big grant and manage all the collaborators and things on that. And then another one where I'm doing like a literature review and helping, I'll be running some interviews and things. So both of those I'm being paid like by the hour. So I made those green. And then I have yellow for administrative, repetitive, logistical. I mostly don't look at those ones. I should, but if they're not urgent, they're not happening. So again, I'm not great about following up on the things that aren't urgent. They can always wait.
Yes.
But I should probably do them at some point. And then I have orange. I was using red for wrap-up stuff from my master's, because that was the school color, but I didn't have a red highlighter. Or red like tabs for my, anyway, so I ended up switching it to orange, and I'll keep red for things that are urgent or sort of one-off. But so those are things like the, you know, there were a couple of side projects that I did during my master's that I want to wrap up. It's a couple of publications I need to write up from my thesis. Although I'm thinking I might move those thesis ones to purple because it's my research. So that's kind of going back and forth. So that's the that's
amazing. The way I have it. Okay. What are the rainbow colored ones?
I have them marked as Monday to Friday, but I don't use those ones. And then I have the other 1.0s, but I haven't been using those either. I just have the this week one, and I've been using the Sunday basket.
Oh yeah. The weekly planning sheet. I love the weekly planning sheet.
Yeah. Cause I was using the old, workbox planner days to just plan my days for a while. And I was just doing it personal and work on one. And so this was just easy to do. So I mostly use the this week folder. And then I usually have a yellow folder that I call weekend, which when I do my planning on Friday, if it's like, oh, these are the things I sort of think, what am I doing this weekend? Both personal and like, do I need to do this reading for class or follow up on this, whatever. And then I shove things in there. And that's sort of as far as my Sunday basket. Sometimes I go
through. I like the weekend one.
Yeah. But it's nice because I'm looking at my whole week and it's like, well, I'm going to plan to do these things over the weekend, but if they don't get done, then they'll have to get bumped to next week.
I love it.
Yeah. But yeah, the other 1.0s mostly get ignored. I do put stuff in the waiting for from time to time, but yeah, mostly they get ignored. Because this lives behind my computer. So it's a little bit, that's just the only, because the cat has the primary spot.
Right, primary spot.
That's where the workbox would go, except that's the cat's spot. And obviously the cat is in charge. But I made this spot. Can you see that in the corner?
Yeah.
So it's just like a plastic magazine file put on its side that I slide like the slash pockets that I'm working on currently that I need to be able to grab quickly. I have them there and my notebooks and things so that that's like my easy go-to spot.
I do that at home next to my computer. Also, like I have my textbooks and then red, orange, and yellow are the colors for my classes. So the most recent assignment slash pocket is right next to the book. So I grab the book and the assignment slash pocket. And then of course the box is like right next to it, but I have it right there. Cause that's like, this is what has to get done this week. And then when the assignment's done, it goes back in. And then on Friday, I pull them back out again. Like, okay, all this has to get done this week.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, these are the ones I'm actively working on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I have like a notebook for each of my, you know, classes or whatever. And so then I have it tucked right with it. And so I can grab like the notebook and the slash pocket. It was kind of funny. I was having a meeting with my master's supervisor to talk about writing up one of my papers. And I was, you know, they asked me a question about, oh, which journal were we going to aim this for? And I was like, oh, let me find that note. And I was looking everywhere. And finally I was like, oh, it's in the slash pocket. Like, I put it there and then I just forgot to grab it. And I was like, oh, here's everything. Yeah. I couldn't find it in this notebook because I tore it out and put it in here. Yeah. You know, sometimes you have to remember what past you did.
Remember which organizational system you're using. What are you getting your PhD in?
So it's in higher education. So it's at the Ontario Institute for Studies in Education, which is at the University of Toronto. And it's one of the only higher education PhDs in the country. There's one or maybe two others that are way out west, which was just very convenient because it was just down the road. And I did not think I was going to get in because it's like a really prestigious school and program. And they only take like a handful of students for their funded cohort. Everybody else is doing it on flex time and paying for their whole, like paying all of their fees and tuition and stuff without getting any compensation. And so I was totally shocked when I got in. But it's really cool because it's a lot of the people doing research in this field in the country are in my department.
Wow, congratulations. Do you have any idea what you want to do your dissertation on or what topic?
Yeah, so I'm planning to continue on with the stuff for my master's. So looking at transferable skill development in universities and sort of the things that impact that. And part of my master's, I found that teacher education people who had done teacher education programs, even when they weren't in education, used more transferable skills at their jobs than other people. And I was like, I'm not at all surprised.
Wow, and, that's so cool.
Yeah. And so, and I think it might have to do more with professional programs in general, because a lot of professional programs are obviously thinking about what you're going to need in the workplace. And they have more of a skills focus than many sort of more theoretical programs do. And you have an opportunity to have a practical placement, right? A practicum or a field placement or whatever. So you get both the chance to talk about the importance of these skills and maybe practice them in class and then also do them, which that's what the literature says is needed for effective transferable skill development, is that you need to actually be able to practice it as well. And so I think that's how a lot of professional programs run, right? You have some classroom learning that's thinking about how you're going to use it in the workplace, and then you have an opportunity to actually practice it. And so I want to look at professional programs and compare them to other sort of more standard programs in the university to see whether professional programs do a better job of teaching transferable skills, and if there's anything we can learn from those programs to apply more generally.
Wow. You know, one thing that is common with the Organized 365 podcast listener is they are self-development junkies. Like, we love learning, and we love learning about ourselves, and we love learning, make everything better. And like, I'm so excited going back to school, but also like, even before I went back to school, conferences I would go to, free summits that I would attend. And like, I would attend a free summit and go to all of the lessons before they expired, like as if I was in school. Book reading. I just looked at my bookshelves. I have 3 full, you know, 4-foot wide shelves full of books that I've read only in the last 4 years. And I was looking up the other day, I was like, Lisa, you don't have a master's in business or a degree in business, but you do have a like, look at your bookshelf. Like, this is a degree in business. Like, that's how you got your entrepreneurship degree. And so I think, you know, when you say these transferable skills and teachers, just because we graduate from school doesn't mean our learning needs to be done. And I think once you realize that, oh yeah, podcasts, books, summits, conferences, courses, PhDs, all of it is just continuing to grow and learn. It's just that you don't have to anymore. Like, you get to choose to.
Yeah. And so it's more self-motivated. And so it's not, why do I have to learn about the history of whatever event that I don't care about?
Yeah.
I listen to history podcasts. Like, that's the other podcast I listen to as often as yours, is the Stuff You Missed in History Class podcast.
Yes.
It's full of, I have so many random pieces of information that I know.
Yes. I love it so much. And as we're living longer, we just have more time to learn and more seasons in which to explore different parts of ourselves. Like, I love learning about Benjamin Franklin because he literally was 4 completely different men. Like, he was an entrepreneur, and then he was a statesman, and then he literally was an inventor. Like, how can you even be all of these people in one lifetime? It's like every 20 years, he was a completely, completely different person. And I just find that fascinating. And like, what an opportunity that we have to do that. So fun.
And he had all those, he had like, what, 12 or 13 goals every month or something? Year. Yeah, it was crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, amazing. And I still say we know everything about him because his job was, he was a printer. And so everything that he said was written down and recorded. Whereas I'm sure there are other people who said great things, but they weren't writing it down and recording it. So
it's true. It's true.
It is true. It is totally true. Yeah. Christine, this was so much fun. Thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast.
Yeah, this was lovely. I'm so glad I actually got to talk to you instead of just talking back to my, you know, podcast player.
I love it. I love that I get to go organizing on all these adventures I don't even know I'm on.
Have you tried Zotero yet?
Okay, so everything's in Zotero. That's what I have all mine. Is that what you're using?
Yes.
Okay, yes. I was just already like day one
before. Yeah, perfect. So just day as one. You get things, make your
questions
and make sure that all of the metadata is in there. And yeah.
So I have the folders, and like, I'll, every time I start another paper, I just create a new folder. Like, okay, this is PSY 501 3. And then I just start putting everything in there. And then when I'm done, how many did I actually end up using? And I clean it up at the end before I turn the paper in. So love it.
Yeah. Cause then they're all there. And then, you know, some of those you'll need, right? There are papers that I needed that I used early in my master's that, you know, now I'm doing this you know, RA position and I need a pay. I'm like, oh yeah, it's over there. And then, yeah. Have you like tried inserting it into Word yet? Cause it's like,
yes, that's all I do.
You never have to make a bibliography again. It's wonderful.
No, yeah. It's correct. But yes.
But
yes.
It's way closer than if you, yeah. As long as you.
Oh my goodness. I can't even imagine starting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
All right. Yeah. Well, good luck in your PhD.
Thanks. You too.